بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our second session, reading from Sifat Ibad al-Rahman, the characteristics and qualities of the worshippers of Allah the Most Merciful, by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we go into the topic this evening, which is the beginning of the reading from the book, we're going to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week, and that review is customarily based upon the questionnaire study guide that we have from the previous session. So, in questionnaire study guide number one, there were 8 questions. The last question we didn't cover last week, so we're going to cover 7 of them. So just quickly, and we're going to just look at some of the points that we covered last week, introduction to this course. The first thing that we covered was the biography, very brief biography of the author. And so the first question is related to that. Mention something from the author's biography, yani his name, date, and place of birth, education, and occupation. So, in brief, we can say that the Shaykh is well known, Shaykh Abdul Razak. He's the son of the Muhaddith of Medina, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. As for his date of birth, well, he was born according to the Hijri calendar in the year 1382. And he was born in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, the 22nd, and we're in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah now. So that means that in this year, in this month, the Shaykh will be reached 59 years old. 59 years old. Now, 1382, this is 1441, and this is the month in which he was born. As far as his education, all of his education, academic education, was at the Islamic University of Medina. His undergraduate studies, bachelor's degree, as well as his postgraduate studies, master's and PhD degree, were all at the Islamic University of Medina. And as far as his occupation, the Shaykh is a member of the teaching staff of the Islamic University of Medina, and has also given many lectures in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid, and in other places locally and abroad. The second question, mentioned 3 of the most well-known teachers of the author. 3 of the most well-known teachers of the author. Give me at least one of them, somebody. Shaykh Abdul Razak's teachers. Let's start with his father, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad. Now, and besides that, the Imams of our era also were from amongst his prominent teachers. That is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and also Shaykh Ali Nasir al-Faqih, and many others. The third question, mentioned 3 of the most well-known books of the author. Any 3 of his most well-known books. And from amongst the important books that we know for him are his explanations of the books of the scholars. For example, the explanation of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Imam Bukhari. The explanation of Al-Aqid al-Wasatiyah by Imam al-Tahawi. The explanation of Al-Kalima al-Tayyibah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Of the contemporary scholars, the explanation of Al-Qawaid al-Muthla by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And then there are other books that the Shaykh has authored himself. From amongst the most important of them, of course, is Ta'zim al-Salat. Ta'zim al-Salat. And also Asbab. 50 points benefits from the story of Luqman. And from also his most important books that's really used, many people are benefiting from, is the fiqh of Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar. Which, alhamdulillah, we have taken many chapters from that book in the publications that we usually distribute in Ramadan. After this, the topic that we began is introduction. We want to look at, review quickly some of the points that we covered last week. Question number 4 was summarize the 2 angles from which al-Abd, the word al-Abd, can be looked at as defined by Shaykh Hafiz Ibn Ahmed al-Hakami, rahimahullah, in his book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura. So we said that the word Abd, al-Abd, or at least the Shaykh, he said, In the beginning of that book, is the beginning of the book, maybe the third or fourth question, he says that al-abd has more than one meaning. If what is intended by al-abd is al-mu'abbad, yani meaning al-mudhallal or al-musakhkhar, then this is inclusive of everything in the creation, including Muslims and kafirs and inanimate things and so on. Yani meaning that if the intended meaning of al-abd is al-mu'abbad, this means al-mudhallal, the one that has been humbled, or the one that has been subjected, yani al-musakhkhar. That means everything in the creation is humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the creation is subjugated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by that meaning, then the word al-abd, if the intended meaning of it is mu'abbad, then it means everything in the creation. It's inclusive of everything. But if the intended meaning of al-abd is al-abid, yani al-abid al, yani al-muhib, al-mutadhallil, al-muhib, al-mutadhallil. If that's the intended meaning, then the meaning of al-abd here is exclusive to the believers. To the believers, the people who believe in Allah and who obey Him. Because this meaning, the meaning of it is the abid is the one who is worshipping Allah, al-muhib, who loves the one who worships, al-mutadhallil, the one who humbles, surrenders himself willingly for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the shaykh, he's saying then, that al-abd has two possible meanings. Al-mu'abbad, yani the thing that, the one that is humbled and subjected to Allah willingly or unwillingly, and that includes everything in the creation. Or al-abid, al-muhib, al-mutadhallil, the one who has surrendered himself, who humbles himself, who loves the one that he is worshipping, and that is exclusive. That doesn't include everyone. In that sense, al-abd, yani it means those who worship Allah, who believe in Allah, and who surrender and submit to Him willingly. The next area that we covered last week was discuss the two types of rububiyyah mentioned by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Sa'di rahimahullah. Okay, two types of rububiyyah, and we said that in the ayats of Surah Al-Furqan, in the beginning of them, Shaykh Abdurrahman Sa'di in his tafsir of those ayats, he says that al-ubudiyyah is of two types, naw'an. Ubudiyyah li rububiyyatihi and ubudiyyah li uluhiyyatihi. Yani there's a ubudiyyah that is, yani, a type of servitude that is in recognition of Allah's rububiyyah, that He's the Lord, the Creator, the Owner, the Controller of everything. That type of ubudiyyah is the ubudiyyah that is inclusive of everything in the creation, because everything in creation recognizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, the Creator, the Owner, the Possessor, the Controller. The other type of ubudiyyah, he said, is ubudiyyah لِأُلُوهِيَّتِهِ لِإِبَادَتِهِ وَلِرَحْمَتِهِ. Yani this type of ubudiyyah is exclusive to the believers, to the prophets, to the awliya of Allah. That is the ubudiyyah that recognizes Allah's divinity, His uluhiyyah, His ilahiyyah, that recognizes His right to be worshipped, and recognizes that everything, yani that everyone is in need of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two types of ubudiyyah, yani the state or the condition of being an abd to Allah is two states. Yani one state is for everything in the creation, that is the ubudiyyah that acknowledges His lordship, His rububiyyah. And the other type of ubudiyyah is the state of being an abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in acknowledgement, in recognition that He is the only ilah, that He is the divine, that He is the ma'bud bihaqqin, the one that deserves to be worshipped, and the one yani, whose mercy we are all in need of. MashaAllah. Naam, you have a question?
No.
Naam.
The second one though, because love that one has, you said it falls into the category of like the prophets.
No, yani the second type of ubudiyyah is the state. Yani some people translate as ubudiyyah as servitude. Yani the point is that it's a condition or a state of being an abd, recognizing that Allah is the ilah, recognizing that He's the ma'bud, that He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. This is only for the believers, for the prophets and the messengers and the awliya of Allah, yani who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right to be worshipped. Otherwise, everything in the creation recognizes His rububiyyah, that He's the Rabb, because everything is subject to His authority and His power and His control. The sixth question is discuss briefly the general and specific meanings of ibadah. The general and specific meanings of ibadah mentioned by Imam Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. And this is, the Shaykh mentions two. He explains it in two different ways: the general and specific meaning of ibadah, mafhum al-'am or mafhum al-khas for ibadah. So the Shaykh, he first, mentions that the mafhum al-'am for ibadah is at-tadhallul lillahi, mahabbatan wa ta'zeeman. It is being being humbled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mahabbatan wa ta'zeeman, out of love for Allah and out of glorification or exaltation of Allah. And this is exhibited bifa'li awamirihi wajtinab nawahihi ala alwajh alladhi ja'a bi shara'ihi. That a person surrenders and submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love for Him and exaltation, glorification of Allah, by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions in the manner in which His Sharia has come with. Obeying Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions in accordance with what Allah has legislated. So he said this is the mafhum al-'am for of ibadah, mafhum al-'am. General meaning of ibadah is a person, that something is in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love for Him and out of glorification, exaltation, acknowledgement of His greatness and His glory and His majesty by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions in accordance with what He has legislated. The mafhum al-khas, he said that the special or specific meaning of ibadah is, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, that ibadah is ismun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allah wa yarda min al-aqwal wal-a'mal al-zahir wal-batina. That ibadah, in the more specific sense, it is a comprehensive word that includes everything that Allah loves and everything that Allah is pleased with, whether it is from speech or whether it is from actions, whether it is that which is done outwardly or that which is done inwardly. All of this, is ibadah. That's how the Shaykh answered the question at first. That the specific understanding of ibadah is, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and that is, that ibadah is a word, a comprehensive word that includes everything that Allah loves and everything that Allah is pleased with, whether speech or actions, inwardly or outwardly. And this means that ibadah, in this sense, is not just prayer and charity and fasting. Rather, ibadah includes whatever a person does or whatever a person says from the things that are pleasing to Allah and beloved by Allah. After this, the Shaykh also gave another explanation. And he said, if what is intended, if what the questioner intended was what some scholars had mentioned concerning ibadah, that there's ibadah kawniyah and there's ibadah shar'iyah. This is a different way of explaining the mafhum al-'am and mafhum al-khas for ibadah. The general meaning of ibadah in this sense, ibadah is ibadah kawniyah, meaning the worship that is in accordance with Allah's universal will, al-irada al-kawniyah. And that is, when Allah wills something, it must happen.
Good or bad.
Whether it's what He loves or doesn't love, but it must happen. So this ibadah, in this sense, he said, this is the general meaning of ibadah, ibadah qawniyah. That everything is in a state of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subject to His universal will, His irada qawniyah. Subject, meaning that when Allah wills something, everyone must comply. Nobody can oppose, nobody can differ, nobody can rebel, nobody can reject what Allah wills in His universal will. As opposed to al-irada al-shara'iyah, the legislative will, which means that Allah wills something, He loves it, He's pleased with it, He commands the people with it, but they may or may not do it. The people may believe or they may disbelieve. They may pray or they may not pray. This is the irada shara'iyah, what Allah has legislated, what Allah loves. But the people may or may not do it. So here, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he's saying that ibadah shara'iyah is the special or the more specific type of ibadah in this sense. That is, it's the ibadah that is in accordance with what Allah has legislated in the Sharia. In accordance with Allah's irada shara'iyya, yani what he's pleased with and what he loves. So this explanation of the general and specific meaning of ibadah, yani, is in accordance with what we said previously concerning ubudiyyah and what we said previously concerning the meaning of the word al-'abd. And that is, al-ibadah kawniyya is inclusive of everything in the creation. Yani, worships Allah in that sense. Yani, that they are subject to His universal will. Yani, what He wills, it must happen. And the irada shara'iyya is inclusive only of the prophets and the messengers and the believers, the mu'mineen and the awliya of Allah. That is, those people who worship Allah in accordance with what He has legislated in the sharia. The last question, the last topic that we covered last week, the question number 7, summarizes the two types of Allah's sifa of rahmah, which are derived from His name Ar-Rahman. Yani, the two types of Allah's characteristic or quality of rahmah. Yani, Allah is described as having rahmah. That's one of His descriptions. The Sheikh Abdul Razak, in his book, The Fiqh of Asma al-Husna, he discusses this particular, yani, the two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, and he says that from them are derived the sifa of Ar-Rahmah, but this Rahmah also is of two types. Yani, Rahmah Aama, in accordance with what we said previously about the Abd and Ibad and Ubudiyyah, there's also Rahmah Aama and Rahmah Khasa. So the Rahmah Aama, the Shaykh, he said, it is Rahmah Badaniya, Jasadiyya, Dunyawiyya. Yani, it is the rahmah that is related to the physical things of this world. And that rahmah reaches the people, everything in the creation, bit-ta'am, wa-sharab, wal-malabis, wal-maskan. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for everything in the creation, their food, their drink, their clothing, their housing, and so on. This is, yani, when people eat, when they drink, any creature that eats or drinks, or that has a place, yani, to live in, then all of that is provided by due to the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything in the creation. As far as the rahmah al-khasa, then the Shaykh said the rahmah khasa is rahmah imaniya, diniya, dunyawiya wa ukhrawiya. Yani, it is the rahmah that is based on iman. Yani, it is given to the people of iman and the people who observe the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world as well as in the next life. Yani, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believers is in this world and it is in the next life. And the Shaykh said it is by at-tawfiq, tawfiq lit-ta'a, that Allah gives them success and obedience. And also he said it is taysir lil-khayr, that He makes ease for the believers to do good. And at-tathbeet ala al-hidayah wa ala al-huda, that Allah makes firm the believers on the right guidance, on the sirat. And he said by ikram, by honoring the believers with entry into paradise and saving them from the hellfire. So this is the last of what we discussed last week, yani the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah aama, that includes everything in the creation. Yani, everything in the creation is benefiting from the effect of Allah's rahmah aama, in that everything is fed and clothed and housed and provided with their worldly physical needs. As far as the rahmah khasa, then this is exclusive to the believers, and this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He shows upon the believers in this world and in the next life. In this world and in the next life. Now, yeah, so this is what we covered last week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to begin to, yani, mention the sifat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the last ayats of Surah Al-Furqan. And he mentions, according to the way that the Shaykh Abdul Razak has explained it, I think this microphone is dying. The way the Shaykh has explained it, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the sifat of the Ibadur Rahman as 8. And some other scholars have explained it differently. Shaykh Salih Al-Suhaimi, Hafidhahullah, has explained, yani, these sifat as being 15. And that is because, yani, it's just the way that they are looking at it. There's no difference in what they're saying, except that, as we will see, Shaykh Abdul Razak is breaking it down into 8. Characteristics based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beginning each one of these characteristics with, yani, the word, وَالَّذِينَ, yani, those who. where Sheikh Salih Suhaimi actually took every individual sifa, every individual quality that's mentioned, even if after that word, وَالَّذِينَ, if there came two or even three characteristics, he numbered them separately. So he counted 15. But in any case, and we're going to primarily be relying upon the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And he has numbered them as eight yani characteristics or qualities of Ibadur Rahman. And tonight, inshaAllah, we're going to talk a little bit about, in the introduction to this book, the exalted station or the rank of being a worshipper of Ar-Rahman. And the benefit that we should be looking, or that we should have in mind to benefit by knowing the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and actualizing them in our lives. And also we're going to talk about the first characteristic, as the Shaykh has outlined them here, the first characteristic being the characteristic of being humble before Allah and before the people. And also he closes by mentioning something related to yani from the characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman, from their good character and in their dealing with the people, especially dealing with the ignorant people, is that they repulse evil with good. And this is a very, very important matter that yani we need to try to call to mind in our lives as we go about in dealing with people, wherever they may be. Okay, so I'm going to start before, just a brief comment, before we read from the book, I'm going to just, let's start with the introduction. We'll come back to that, inshallah, the comments of Al-Imam Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. So the Shaykh, he begins from the Arabic text of the book that we are reading. He begins on page 5, yani, from the book. In the English translation, I'm not really sure what page it's on, and I don't have it with me at the moment. But in any case, there is an English translation of this book that we have sent out in a PDF form. The Shaykh begins on page 5 by saying, Alhamdulillah, والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله وصحبه ومن والاه اما بعد yani that the praise belongs to Allah and the salat and salam are upon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his family and his companions and all of those who align themselves with him as helpers and supporters of the message that he brought. After this, the Shaykh says, and this is the opening statement, and often yani the scholars, they usually open up their discussion or their speech or their writings with yani a core statement. And here the Shaykh, he begins by saying, فَإِنَّ الْمَقَامَ إِنَّ مَقَامَ الْعُبُودِيَّ لِلَّهِ مَقَامٌ عَظِيمٌ, that indeed the station of عُبُودِيَّ for Allah, yani of being in a state of servitude, being in a state, yani being an abd for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a maqam azim. Yani this station or this rank, this position of ubudiyya for Allah is a magnificent, tremendous rank or station. It's a very high station. The station of ubudiyya, yani of being a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, bel, yani rather, yani bel means what? Yani it means that if a person made a statement and then they want to come behind it to add to what they say or to correct what they say, then they say, bel huwa ashrafu al-maqamat allati imtadaha Allah biha anbiya'ahu wa awliya'ahu. Yani rather, not only is it just yani this maqam of ubudiyya, not only is it a magnificent rank or station or position, rather it is the most honorable of all ranks with which Allah has praised His prophets and His awliya. Yani the most honorable station that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the people for is the station of ubudiyya. وَأَضَافَ أَحْلَهَا لِنَفْسِهِ فِي آيَاتٍ عَدِيدَةٍ تَشْرِيفًا لَهُمْ وَتَعَلِيَةً لِمَقَامِهِمْ. And in addition to this, and not only is it the most noble of all stations with which Allah has praised the prophets and the awliya with, He has yani أَضَافَ أَهْلَهَا, yani the people of عُبُودِيَّة, the people of this station, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ascribed them to Himself. He has ascribed them to Himself. Yani He has attributed them as being connected to Him. في آيات عديدة, in many آيات of the Quran. And he has done this تشريفا لهم وتعالية لمقامهم. يعني he has done this, he has attached the people of عبودية, the عباد الرحمن, he has attached them to himself, يعني in many آيات in the Quran, as a means of honoring them and elevating their station. يعني by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying the عباد الرحمن, calling these worshippers عباد الرحمن, attaching them to himself, this is a means of honoring them. And this is also a means of elevating, raising high their station or their position or their rank in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَهْلِ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ الشَّرِيفِ أَوْصَافًا عَدِيدَةً وَسِمَاتٍ مُبَارَكَةً. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for the people of this honorable or noble rank many descriptions and blessed character traits. في نصوص كثيرة, in many يعني passages, and for a reason, ليجتهد المسلم في اتصاف بها والعمل بمقتضاها. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these characteristics and these qualities of يعني the people of the rank of عبودية, of the station of عبودية. He has mentioned their qualities and their characteristics in many passages in the Quran for a reason, so that they would strive, so that the Muslim would strive to take on these qualities and to act upon what is required of them. يعني the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning these sifat is not just so when a person is reading the Quran they read beautiful descriptions of people. Rather, these descriptions are intended that the Muslim, when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing the people of Ubudiyya with these descriptions, this would yani motivate them, liyajtahid, yani to strive and to struggle, to make an effort to what? To be described with these qualities and these characteristics, and then to act upon what they require. Yani meaning that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the people yani of عبودية in this, in the first description that he brings, عباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا, that they walk upon the earth in humility, then knowing this, it means that the Muslim, when he knows that Allah is praising these people for this quality, it means that the Muslim should strive to take on this quality, to take on this characteristic, to be yani described as such, as being a person who's humble in front of Allah and humble in front of the people. And that a person must then act upon this description. Not just, yani, describe yourself as being humble, but then you act in accord with what humility requires. Yani, humility requires, as we see in the second part of this ayat, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Yani, humility requires that even when a person speaks to you ignorantly, abuses you verbally, deals with you harshly, that the person who is described with this type of description is not gonna yani react and respond in kind. Rather, that person is gonna yani be humble before that and act in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see yani when we come to this first characteristic. Yani the meaning here is that the Shaykh is saying that Allah has mentioned these qualities and these characteristics not just as an academic yani exercise, but rather so that we see that these are praiseworthy characteristics that we want to characterize ourselves with and act upon what it requires of us. And this also has a purpose. The Shaykh said, لِيَنَالَ الْمَقَامَ الرَّفِيَ وَالشَّرْفَ الْكَبِيرِ عِنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yani this is so that if a person takes on these characteristics and is described with these qualities that Allah has described the Ibad al-Rahman with, if a person does that, then this will enable them to achieve this high station, yani al-maqam al-rafi'ah, this lofty station, with sharaf al-kabir, and the great honor in front of Allah, the Rabbil Alameen. So, yani, here I think that the important point is that, yani, we have to internalize the meaning of what is being said here. It's not an academic discussion, rather it requires of us to do something. That is, that we strive to take on these characteristics, to act in accordance with what they require, hoping to achieve a high station in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and honor in front of the Rabbil Alameen. After this, the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ أَبْرَزِ الْمَوَاضِعَ الَّتِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا أَوْصَافِ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي سِيَاقٍ وَاحِدٍ مَا جَاءَ فِي خَوَاتِيمِ سُرَةُ الْفُرْقَانِ. Yani from amongst the most outstanding places in which Allah has mentioned the characteristics of His ibad, His believing worshippers, in one single passage, is that which has came in the closing ayat of Surah Al-Furqan. Yani 25th surah of the Qur'an. حَيْثُ ذَكَرَ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَوْصَافٍ بَدَاهَا بِقَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Somebody needs to help me, huh? Can somebody press this switch here? I'm like having difficulty reading. The round one. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. I was wondering why I was having difficulty reading. I have no light in here. Allahu musta'an. Subhanallah. That first page was difficult to see. I couldn't see it hardly. Na'am. حَيْثُ ذَكَرَ ثَمَانِيَةَ أَوْصَافٍ يعني one of the most outstanding places where Allah in one single passage mentions the characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman is in the ending ayat of Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah mentions 8 descriptions or characteristics or qualities of the Ibad al-Rahman, and He began them with His saying, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. That the Ibad, the worshippers of Ar-Rahman, they are those who walk upon the earth humbly. وَفِي هَذَا دَلَالَةٌ عَلَىٰ عَظِيمِ اِخْتِصَاصِهِمْ بِمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ هَذَا الْإِسْمِ مِنْ مَعَنِي الرَّحْمَةِ. And in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beginning this passage, beginning this sequence of ayat, in mentioning the qualities of the Ibad al-Rahman, He describes those people who He's going to mention their qualities as Ibad al-Rahman. That is, meaning that they are the exclusive people who are the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They exclusively can be described with this. And this shows عظيم اختصاصهم, yani the magnificence or the greatness of them being singled out, being distinguished with the meanings of Ar-Rahman that are indicated in this name, Ar-Rahman. Yani the greatness, yani there's some greatness, there's magnificence in that a certain people have been distinguished. Allah has singled them out. Yani with whatever are the meanings of Rahmah that are pointed to or indicated in this name, Ar-Rahman. فَبِرَحْمَتِهِ هَدَاهُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. It is by the Rahmah of Allah, His Rahmah, that He has guided these people to Iman. It is due to His Rahmah. وَرَبَّاهُمْ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ الرَّحْمَانِ وَحُسْنِيَ التَّقَرُّبِ إِلَيْهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And it is due to His Rahmah that He has raised them, yani nurtured them upon obedience to Ar-Rahman. And seek and excellence in seeking nearness to Him. Yani all of this is due to His Rahmah. ثَمَّ عَدَّدَ صِفَاتِهِمْ. Then He mentions, yani He counts out their characteristics. كُلُّ صِفَةٍ مَبْدُوعَ بِقَوْلِهِ وَالَّذِينَ. Every one of these qualities or characteristics of the Ibad al-Rahman, He begins with His saying, وَالَّذِينَ. Yani those who are described with such and such. And those who are described with such and such. وَخَتَمَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هَذَا السِّيَاقِ الْكَرِيمِ بِذِكْرِ مَا عَدَّهُ لَهُمْ مِنْ ثَوَابٍ عَظِيمٍ وَأَجْرٍ جَزِيلٍ. And then Allah seals or closes this yani sequence of the noble ayat in which He mentions, He seals it with the mention of what He has prepared for them. Yani the magnificent reward and the abundant recompense that He has prepared for the people who are described with these characteristics and qualities. And then the Shaykh, he closes by saying, and you know, one of the benefits of the yani alim al-Rabbani is that they address the people and they speak to the people in a way that enables the people to act upon what is required of them. Yani not learning for the purpose of accumulation of information, but rather learning for the purpose of acting upon the knowledge. And there's a big difference between accumulation of information and the people who act upon what they're learning, such that it changes their life and changes their character and changes their behavior, changes their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, وَجَدِيرٌ بِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ يَسْعَى فِي نَجَاتِ نَفْسِي وَسَعَادَتِهَا أَيَّتَأَمَّلَ صِفَاتِ عِبَادِ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّتِي وَرَدَتْ فِي هَذَا السِّيَاقِ الْمُبَارَكِ فَيَعْرِفَهَا مَعْرِفَةً جَيِّدَةً ثُمَّ يَسْعَى بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فِي تَحْقِيقِهَا عَلَى أَكْمَلْ وَجْهٍ. Yani that it is befitting, it is worthy of every Muslim who is striving to save himself, to save his soul. Yani najat nafsi wa sa'adatiha, and striving to achieve success, yani real success in this world and the next. It is becoming of such a Muslim who is trying to save himself and trying to achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he reflect upon the sifat of Ibad al-Rahman. يَتَأَمَّلْ, yani contemplate, ponder over these sifat. Yani memorize them, read them, recite them, ponder over them, reflect, look into them, examine them carefully. يَتَأَمَّلَ sifat Ibad al-Rahman, which are mentioned in this blessed yani sequence of ayat. فَيَعْرِفَهَا مَعْرِفَةً جَيْدًا. And then after pondering over these ayats, the person will come to know these yani sifat very well. فَيَعْرِفَهَا يَتَأَمَّلْ فَيَعْرِفَهَا مَعْرِفَةً جَيْدًا. Knowing them well, yani memorizing them, contemplating over them, understanding their meanings, coming to know them well. ثُمَّ يَسْعَى بَعْدِ ذَلَكَ فِي تَحْقِيقِهَا عَلَىٰ أَكْمَلِ الْوَجْهِ. And then after that, striving, making a real effort after that, after contemplating these qualities and these characteristics and knowing them well, then striving to actualize them, to realize them in the most perfect manner that is possible. So this is yani our intent, and this is our purpose, and this is our hope, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in learning these qualities and these characteristics, contemplating their meanings, knowing them well, and then striving to realize them in our lives. Yani striving to actualize them, yani to put them into practice in real life. Okay, after this, the Shaykh enters yani to the discussion of the first of the ayat and the first quality. Yes. Before I read what the Shaykh says here, I'm going to just get sidetracked a little bit and read from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, concerning this first ayat. We read from it last week, from this ayat where the Shaykh talked about ubudiyya, the two types of ubudiyya. Right after that, the Shaykh says, فَوَصَفَهُمْ بِأَنَّهُمْ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. Then Allah describes the Ibad al-Rahman as those who walk upon the earth, hawna. He says the meaning of hawna is sakinina, mutawadi'ina, lillahi wal khalq. Yani that they are calm, that they are yani humble in front of Allah and in front of the khalq. And this is very important, yani that most of the scholars mentioned it like this because it's crystal clear in the ayat for anybody who reflects upon it, that this humility, this description of being humble for the Ibad al-Rahman is not just humility in front of Allah, rather it is being humble in front of the Ibad Allah as well, in front of the creation of Allah. Yani being humble, that is one of the characteristics of the awliya of Allah. That is one of the characteristics of the mu'mineen. Yani that they are humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in front of the people. That they try to fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as best they can, as well as the rights of the people. Yani it's not just a matter of that you make your salat five times a day, that you pray in the jama'ah, that you fast in Ramadan, that you read the Quran and fulfill the rights of Allah, and then you violate and transgress on the people. This is not the way of the Ibad al-Rahman. And this ayat, inshallah, the Shaykh says, this is a proof that from the sifat of the Ibad al-Rahman is that their humility is for Allah and for the creation of Allah. فَهَذَا وَصْفٌ لَهُمْ بِالْوَقَارِ وَالسَّكِينَةِ وَالتَّوَاضِعِ لِلَّهِ وَلِعِبَادِهِ. Yani that this ayat is a description of the Ibad al-Rahman as being dignified, yani as being calm and being humble in front of Allah and in front of the Ibad Allah. And the idea that it means humility in front of the ibadah of Allah comes in the second half of the ayat, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, yani that when the jahiluna, the people who are described with jahl, with ignorance, address them, the shaykh says, خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, yani khitab jahl, yani a speech that is a speech of ignorance. Yani the jahiluna, when they speak, what kind of speech are they going to speak with except ignorant speech? That's why Allah is describing them as jahiluna, because they are ignorant. He said that it is khitab jahl bi dalil idafat al fi'l wa isnadihi li hadha al wasf. Yani the proof that the speech that comes from the jahiluna is ignorant speech is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected the action of jahl. He has joined it, yani, or the person who's doing this action, he has joined it to the description of those people as being jahiluna. فَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, that when the ignorant people speak to them, address them with ignorant speech, yani abuse them verbally or use harsh words of filthy language, how do they respond? قَالُوا سَلَامًا, they say salam, meaning خَاطَبُوهُمْ خِطَابًا يَسْلَمُونَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ, yani they respond to these people with a speech which allows them to be free from sin. Yani speech which would not involve sin. وَيَسْلَمُونَ مِنْ مُقَابَلَةِ الْجَاهِلِ بِجَهْلِهِ, and also that makes them free from responding to the ignorant person with the same type of ignorance. Yani speech which will not be sinful, they're not going to say anything that is going to cause them to fall into sin, nor will they respond in like with the speech of the ignorant people. Yani they're not going to reciprocate and speak to them the same way. Then the Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi rahimahullah says, and this is the end of what he says concerning this particular point, وَهَذَا مَدْحٌ لَهُنْ, and this is a way of praising these people, بِالْحِلْمِ الْكَثِيرِ, that they have a great amount of forbearance. Yani when ignorant people speak to them ignorantly, they don't respond in like, but rather they are patient with that, and they forbear that. وَمُقَابَلَةُ الْمُصِيبِ بِالْإِحْسَانِ, and that you respond to the person, yani the evil of that evil person, with goodness, not with a similar evil. وَالْعَفْوِ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِ, and that you pardon the ignorant person, because you know that they are ignorant. وَرِزَانَةِ الْعَقْلِ الَّذِي أَوْسَلَهُمْ إِلَى هَذَا الْحَالِ, and also this shows the soundness of the intellect, yani of that person that has enabled them to reach this condition of being able to, yani, respond with humility to the jahil people when they, yani, speak to them ignorantly. Allahumma sta'an. So, yani, back to the Shaykh, what he says here concerning the first characteristic. The first thing is that he summarizes the meaning of the first characteristic, as-sifa al-ula. He says, as-sakinatu wal-waqaru wal-tawadu'u lillahi wal-ibadihi. Yani, the first characteristic or quality of the Ibad al-Rahman is the quality of calmness and dignity and humility in front of Allah and also in front of the people. Yani this is the summary of the first characteristic. Yani being calm, dignified, composed, humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times and in front of the people when you deal with them. قال عز وجل وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. Yani Allah the Mighty, the Majestic says that the ibad of Rahman, the worshippers of Rahman, are those who walk upon the earth هونا, humble, calm, dignified, composed. وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, and when the ignorant people speak to them, they say salam. Yani they say words which do not involve sin and are not, yani, a reaction to the ignorance of the people who are speaking to them. Yani they don't respond in like. مِنْ صِفَاتِ إِبَابِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَجَمِيلْ نُعُوتِهِمْ, yani from the characteristics of the worshippers of Ar-Rahman and from their beautiful traits, character traits, is their humility in front of Allah and the humility in front of the people, the ibadullah. فَيَمْشُونَ بِالسَّكِينَةِ بِسَكِينَةٍ وَتُمَأَنِينَةٍ وَقَارٍ. So they walk upon the earth, yani, calmly and tranquil, peacefully, and with dignity. Yani this is a characteristic of Ibad al-Rahman. وَهَذَا التَّوَاضُعُ الَّذِي ظَهَرَ عَلَى مَشِّهِمْ وَهَيَّتِهِمْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ الثَّمَرَةُ مِنْ ثِمَارِ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَثَرٌ مِنْ أَثَارِهِ. And this, yani, appearance of humility, which you see in their walking and in their outward appearance, yani the way they look, this appearance of humility is a fruit from the fruits of Iman. And it is an effect or a sign, yani the traces from the traces of Iman. So the person who has Iman, yani needs to ask themselves, if they find that they are not humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not humble in front of the people, then they have to ask themselves, where are the traces of Iman that yani manifest itself in a person's yani humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people? Qala Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما وقول في قوله تعالى الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا أي بالطاعة والعفاف والتواضع. يعني ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said concerning this ayat that the Ibad al-Rahman are those who walk upon the earth humbly, he said بالطاعة, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني their humility is due to their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني they're not gonna act in a way, and in doing something that's in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have humbled themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-afaf, yani with modesty. Wal-tawadu', yani humility. This is from the characteristics of Ibad al-Rahman. Wa min mazahir tawadu'ihim wa sakinatihim annahum in wajahu في طريقهم بعد أهل السفر والجهل فإنهم يخاطبونهم بكلام سديد سالم من السفر والجهل. يعني from the manifestations of their humility and their calmness is that if they are met in the road by some people of foolishness and ignorance, then they speak to those people. يعني they speak to those people بكلام سديد, يعني with speech that is proper, يعني speech that is on the mark, that's correct, that's right. نعم سالم من السفر والجهل, يعني that's free of foolishness and ignorance. And this يعني وهذا معنى قوله عز وجل, and this is the meaning of the saying of Allah, that when the ignorant people speak to them, yani they say salam. This is the meaning of when the ignorant people speak to them, they say salam. Meaning, they speak to those people with a speech that is correct, that's proper, that's free from foolishness or ignorance. A, yani salaman, the Shaykh says the meaning of salaman, qawlan yaslamuna bihi min al-ithm wal-laghwi. Yani a word or a speech that is free, that makes them to be safe from sin and from yani lagwi. Yani lagwi means yani speech that is of no benefit, nonsense, foolishness, or foul language. Naam. Qalu salaman, meaning speech which enables them to be free and to be safe from sin and from yani speaking nonsense. وَهُمْ بِهَذَا قَدْ جَمَعُوا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ السَّلَامَةَ مِنْ أَثْرَتَيْنِ أَثْرَةِ الرِّجْلِ وَأَثْرَةِ اللِّسَانِ. So, they have combined, in doing so, yani, they have combined for themselves, yani, being protected from two slips or two stumblings, the slip of the foot and the slip of the tongue. Yani, the slip of the foot, yani, that a person slips, yani, unintentionally, unknowingly, they slip on something and they fall. And the slip of the tongue is that a person said something, yani, that they should not have said. They slipped and said it. Yani, they would not have said it if they had been thoughtful. So the Ibad al-Rahman who walk upon the earth humbly, and when they are addressed by the ignorant, speak to them, yani, with speech that, yani, is free from sin or foolishness or ignorance, then they have combined, yani, the protecting themselves from both types of slip. Slip of the foot and slip of the tongue. Qala Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, Imam al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ الْأَثْرَةَ أَثْرَتَيْنَ أَثْرَةَ الرِّجْلِ وَأَثْرَةَ اللِّسَانِ جَاءَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا قَرِينَةً أُخْرَى فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. يعني ابن القيم رحمه الله says that since slipping is of two types, there is the slipping of the foot and the slipping of the tongue, then one of them has come combined alongside the other one of them in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two types of slip, slip of the foot and slip of the tongue, where Allah said the ibad al-Rahman are those who yamshuna ala al-ardi hawnan, that they walk humbly on the earth, such that yani they don't slip their feet, and yani when the ignorant speak to them, they speak the speech that yani does not involve sin or foolishness, so they also avoid the slipping of the tongue. Ibn al-Qayyim closes by saying, فَوَصَفَهُمْ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ فِي لَفَظَاتِهِمْ وَخَطَوَاتِهِمْ. So they have been described with being upright in their speech, in their utterances, as well as in their, yani their steps, in their walking through the earth. فَلَا يُقَابِلُونَ الْجَاهِلُونَ الْجَاهِلِينَ السُّفَهَاء بِمِثْلِ جَاهِلِهِمْ وَسَفْعِهِمْ. Yani so they do not meet the ignorant people and the foolish people with the like of their ignorance and their foolishness. Meaning they don't yani respond in kind to the people who are ignorant. They don't act ignorantly back to them. وَإِنَّمَا يُعْرِضُونَ عَنَهُمْ. Rather they turn away from them. وَيُخَاطِبُونَهُمْ بِكَلَامٍ سَلِيمٍ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْآفَاتِ. And then they speak to those people with speech that's free of these evil traits. يعني الآفات is that which يعني when it falls upon something, it corrupts it, it spoils it, it wounds it. So they are free of these things, of these yani evil traits. فَيَدْفَعُونَ الْإِسَاءَ بِالْإِحْسَانِ. And they repulse ill treatment with kind treatment. Yani they repulse the ill treatment of the jahilun with good treatment. Yani they respond to evil with good. قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلَا تَسْتَوِ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِهِ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍّ عَظِيمٍ. وَلَا تَسْتَوِ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Yani that the good deed and the sayyah, the evil deed, are not equal in any way whatsoever. They are not the same. They are not equal. Yani they are not the same type of action, nor do they bring about the same consequence. The end result is not the same. Yani they are not in front of Allah equal. Al-hasana wa sayyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that these two types of deeds are not equal. They are not the same. A person needs to distinguish between them. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. Yani repulse as sayyah with that which is ahsan, which is not just good, but with the best. Repulse as sayyah, not with sayyah, yani evil speech with evil speech, but rather with that which is best. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. And in that way, the one between whom and you there is adawa, enmity, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. It will be as though he is your sadiq, your dear friend, hamim, yani beloved one who is near to you. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that yani if you respond to evil speech or evil behavior with kindness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change that person, yani who there's enmity between you and them, and make them as a dear close friend to you. Naam?
Examples for the Muslim and Kufar or Muslim?
It's general.
General.
It's general. Naam. Of course, yani there's a lot of discussion concerning this particular matter. Yani because of yani the time. But what we can say is that certainly there are people, Muslim or non-Muslim, who are evil, who commit crimes, who murder, who steal people's property. If a person were to commit such an evil act, yani one time in their life, they slipped and fell and made a mistake, then Islam enables us to punish that person with the just punishment according to the Sharia, or to pardon that person. Yani, to pardon them and let them go free. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said that if the person is a criminal who's always robbing people and murdering people, there's no pardon for that person. That person should be punished. But if a person is known to be a good person, and they erred, and they slipped, and they fell, and they committed an act, of wrong oppression against you, you should pardon them. Yani, return yani their ill treatment with good treatment. And this will affect the human being. Especially the people who are near and dear to you. Your family, your spouse, your children, your siblings, the people around you, the Muslims, or even other people who are not Muslims. Yani, your treatment of those people, this is one of the great means of da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani, that he treated kindly the mushrikeen, the kuffar. He was charitable to them. He was kind to them. And this treatment of them had an effect on the hearts of those people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that repulse evil with that which is good. And we know, yani, historically from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, that this is an effective way of dealing with people. There's, yani, in the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, there's a discussion about this, which is very interesting, but yani, for the sake of time, we're going to go on because time is upon us. And actually, wallahu musta'an, it looks like perhaps we're not going to finish today, yani, what the Shaykh mentioned, but anyway, let's go on. He says, after mentioning this ayah, and again, yani, perhaps yani, in the next session we might sit down and try to look at this ayat a little bit, with a little bit more time so we don't have to rush through it. The Shaykh says, فَالنَّاسْ يَتَفَاوَتُونَ فِي أَخْلَاقِهِمْ وَتَعَامُلَاتِهِمْ تَفَاوَتًا عَظِيمًا. Yani, after having mentioned, number one, that in this ayat, from the description of the Ibad al-Rahman, is humility in front of Allah and humility in front of the people, and that when the ignorant people address them, that you should address them yani with good speech, not respond in like. And then this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, repulse evil with good, then the Shaykh says, so the people, يَتَفَاوَتُونَ فِي أَخْلَاقِهِمْ, that the people differ in their character, وَتَعَامُلَاتِهِمْ, and in their dealing, inter-social and you know, business interaction and dealings with one another. People differ, tafawutan aziman, yani greatly. Yani, some people are far superior, far higher or above, and other people below others in terms of the level of their character and the level of their social interaction. The people differ. People are not the same. وَالْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلَمْ بِحُسْنِ دِيَانَتِهِ وَجَمِيلِ أَخْلَاقِهِ أَيَتَّصِفَ بِمَا ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَنْ عِبَادِ الرَّحْمَنِ فِي آيَاتِ السَّابِقَةِ فَيُقَابِلَ الْإِسَاءَةَ بِالْإِحْسَانِ وَيَتَوَاضَعُ لِعِبَادِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَهْمَا كَانَتْ أَخْلَاقُهُمْ. Yani, so what is obligatory? Knowing that the people differ greatly in their character and in their manners. People are not on the same level. So what is obligatory upon the Muslim? And of course by Muslim we mean not every person who calls themselves a Muslim. Not every person who took Shahada and didn't practice Islam. Not every person who is born in a Muslim family. But by Muslim we mean what is incumbent upon the Muslim who has surrendered himself to Allah, who believes in Allah and His Messenger, who is abiding by the laws of Allah, fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions, who have the iman and the tawheed that the Prophet ﷺ has delivered to us. The person who is upon that Islam, what is incumbent, obligatory, wajib upon that person, is that, yani, due to the husni diyanatihi, yani the goodness of his religion, his religiosity, yani his state of religion, وَجَمِيلْ أَخْلَاقِهِ, and the beauty of his character, by means of his practicing his Islam and having good character, that he becomes described with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Ibad al-Rahman with in the preceding ayat. Yani, in the first ayat of this surah. I mean of this passage. And that he, as in this ayat that just passed, that he, yani, يُقَابِلْ الْإِسَاءَ بِالْإِحْسَانِ, that he respond to evil treatment and evil speech with good treatment and good speech. And that he humble himself to the ibad of Allah, all of the people, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, مَهْمَا كَانَتْ أَخْلَاقُهُمْ, no matter what is their character. Meaning that, don't only be kind and charitable and respectful to the person who is kind and charitable and respectable to you. Rather, no matter what a person's character is, the worst of the people, the Muslim, is expected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respond to evil with good. Yani when somebody abuses you, yani with speech, the Muslim is expected to speak kindly back to that person. Not to show that before I was a Muslim, I could curse and swear and speak like you. So let me just show you how I used to do it. No. Rather, as a Muslim now, we have changed our behavior and changed our character. And from the character of the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they repulse evil with that which is best. So here the Shaykh is saying that this is obligatory. Al-wajib al-Muslim. That they be described what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned concerning the Ibad al-Rahman in the preceding ayat. And that is that they respond to evil with good. And that they humble themselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what their character is. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, I don't remember the entirety of it, but and it's relative to what the Shaykh is saying here. In a hadith, somewhat lengthy hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man tawada'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah." That whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise him up. Whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, in front of the people, Allah will raise that person up. Yani humbling yourself is not humiliation. Rather, the one who humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, out of fear of Allah, yani because they believe in Allah, then Allah will raise that person up. And some of us, especially in the Western society, especially in the inner cities, we think that we're in this rough environment, we have to act like the people. We have to look tough, we have to frown, we have to growl, we have to curse, we have to talk harsh. This is not the character of the Muslim. It doesn't mean that the Muslim is soft, because the Prophet ﷺ certainly wasn't soft. And he was on the forefront of the battles when the Muslims fought against the enemies of Allah. And whenever there was trouble or danger, the Prophet was the first one there. And the companions, when they went out of sight of Medina one time when they heard some noise, when they got to the place where they heard the noise, the Prophet was already there. He told him, "It's okay, you can go back now. It's taken care of. I've already dealt with this." And the Prophet was fearless, no doubt about it. But he was humble. And there's no contradiction between being humble and being stern and being firm and being strong. So this is from the character, yani, of the Ibad al-Rahman, that they meet, yani, evil behavior and evil speech. No matter what is the character of the people, yani, they respond to the people in a manner that's befitting of the Ibad al-Rahman. Then the Shaykh says, and actually we're out of time right now, so I'm going to stop here and go to the last part of this sifa in the next session, inshallah. We'll talk about it, we'll finish it. But the Shaykh, he says here, وَيَنْبَغِي قَبْلَ ذَٰلِكَ أَن يَسْتَعِينَ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فِي أُمُورِهِ كُلِّهَا وَأَن يَدْعُوَهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَأَن يَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ سيئها كما ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يقول في دعاء الاستفتاح يعني the opening of the salah. We're going to stop with this. The Shaykh says it is incumbent before يعني what has been mentioned previously يعني before this type of behavior before we expect to be able to act like this, that before that it is incumbent أن يستعين بالله سبحانه وتعالى في أمور كله, that in order to be successful in taking on these characteristics and being described with these qualities, a person must seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of his affairs. Meaning that whatever we are successful at, we can only be successful by the help of Allah. And we will never be successful except by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha, yani where we say in every rak'ah of every prayer, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani al-isti'ana is a form of worship, but Allah says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we worship you alone. Yani that we should say in the salat, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, we worship you alone, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And we also worship you with another type of worship, that is seeking help from you in order to worship you. Yani we have already intended to worship Allah alone, but we will not be successful except by seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh is saying here, it is incumbent before everything that we seek help from Allah in all of our affairs, and that we call upon Allah and supplicate Him that He guide us to the best character, and that He turn away from us evil character, as it has been confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. that he used to say in the dua of opening the prayer, the istiftah, yani he's asked Allah to guide him to the best of character. Inshallah, we're going to stop here. Or maybe I'll read this. I'll read this. Inshallah, just so that we can have it to go with. And whoever doesn't know this du'a, this is a lengthy du'a that is reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. It's quite lengthy du'a, very beautiful supplication that the Prophet sometimes used to recite when he opened the prayer. If a person can't learn the whole of this du'a, inshallah, I'll try to send it to the class by email. The whole of the du'a. In Arabic and English, whoever can't remember the whole of it, at least remember this one line: "Ihdini li ahsan al akhlaq." Allah guide me to the best character. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta. And there's no one that can guide to this good character except you. Wasrif anni sayyi'aha, and turn away from me the evil character. La yasrifu anha, or la yasrifu anni. It should be, there's a mistake in the Arabic printing. It should be la yasrifu anni sayyi'aha illa anta. This is how it came in Sahih Muslim with the word la yasrifu anni. Oh Allah, yani guide me to the best character, and no one can guide to the best character except you. And turn away from me evil character, and no one can turn away from me evil character except you. This hadith is a very beautiful hadith. It's a lengthy supplication. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite it sometimes in opening the prayer, yani the opening supplication, in opening the prayer before Al-Fatiha. And this particular yani part of the supplication is related to our topic, yani that we must ask Allah to grant us good character, to help us to achieve good character, and to turn away from us evil character, lying, cheating, yani pride, arrogance. All of those types, those character traits that are contrary to the character of the believer. Yani we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to give up those evil character traits and to take on good character traits to replace the evil character with good character. And if a person strives to do that which is good and asks Allah's help in doing it, then there's no reason to feel helpless or hopeless. Because whoever is trying to do good, making an effort to do it, and asks Allah's help in it, then they have to be successful. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billah wa la ta'ajiz." Yani be diligent and eager. Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka, in getting that which benefits you. Wasta'in billah, and seek help from Allah. Wa la ta'ajiz, and don't feel helpless, like you can't do it. Because if you are striving to do it and you're asking Allah's help, then you have to be successful. Bismillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We're going to stop here, inshallah, only because we're trying to stick as close to the time as possible. And inshallah, in the next session, we'll try to go back to what remains from this and take on the next characteristic. Yani, for those of you who are here, inshallah, we would like to engage you in the questionnaire study guide. Yani, next week, inshallah, there are some questions here that we have placed for this particular session. And those questions, we didn't get to all of them. But yani, if you look at those questions in questionnaire study guide number 2, then yani, we would hope that yani, we will try to get everybody to be engaged in helping us to look at those questions and to answer those questions in the beginning of the next session. And we try to do that as a review of what we've covered, and also yani to help us to be yani more focused in our studies, and that we don't come to the sittings of knowledge just as a social interaction, but actually we really try to retain and take back something from those gatherings by the help of Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question or any comment or any correction, yani before we leave, if anybody has something that they want to say, yani a question or anything, inshallah. Tayyib. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khayra.